Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast.
Hey, hello. It is the Go Birds Podcast. Elliot Shore, Parks, James Seltzer with you. Brought to you by Ashley.
Shout out
to Ashley, yes. Our favorite furniture company out there. We are so excited. As we move forward, we're going to tell you so much more about Ashley, a new sponsor to the program.
Dude, Chris has brought up at least 3 to 4 times.
Oh, it's like, going to be amazing.
We have to go.
We are so excited to have Ashley on board. And so much fun stuff coming this season. Yeah. A big part of it. We're going to talk about an Eagles team that's getting all kinds of raves out there, Elliot. Ashley always does because of how great they are.
I feel like, so my biggest takeaway from working with Window Nation has been, as we discuss and we will discuss, like keeping the cool air in your house, right?
Mm.
We'll see what my big takeaway ends up being with Ashley and, you know, furniture and such. My initial one is nothing changes a room like a big new piece of furniture.
Take right
like
there,
it's almost like you're moving houses.
Here's my take. Furniture, it's important.
Yeah, you need it.
Yeah.
Be tough to have a house without furniture.
It would really suck.
Be a very college-y mm-hmm. type thing.
It yeah. wouldn't be a home without furniture.
That's right. It would just be a big open space.
When I first met Kristen, I didn't have a bed frame. Oh. My mattress was on the floor.
That sounds...
Somehow we made it.
Right?
Yeah.
It's good. I'm really proud of you, buddy. It's good.
Probably would have gone better sooner if I had a bed frame.
Could it?
How old were you?
I mean, it was almost 10 years ago. So I'm 38. Oh. So 28. No bed frame. Yeah.
That's old to not have a bed frame.
It is. I agree. Yeah, I agree. Now, I do think couches are more important than bed frames. You can get by without a bed frame.
I mean, technically, yes. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you only had to pick one, if you had a mattress
sure.
and you could pick one more piece of furniture, I think you would pick the couch.
Sure.
In fact, is couch the most important piece of furniture? Well, unless you consider
you
a mattress.
Sleep on it is what you're saying?
Yeah. Unless you consider
you can
mattress
sit
furniture.
Sit on a mattress too, though. So.
Yeah, but it'd be tough to like have people over and be like, we're all going to sit on my mattress.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
but
a futon, he'd be able to make
But
it
again,
work.
Like people never come over to my house. I much more care about my
no,
living
agreed.
In my house. Like I don't care about
But you
people
can sleep
over.
Comfortably on a mattress on the floor.
Right. My point is, I think I'd rather sit on a mattress and sleep on a mattress than sit on a couch and sleep on a couch.
I'm not including mattress as a piece of furniture. I'm saying bed frame or couch.
Well, that's not a very fair.
Well, would you say a mattress is a piece of furniture?
I think it's all the bed. It's all one thing. And most people don't just do the mattress. They get the actual bed frame.
Would you say a pillow is a piece of furniture?
I don't know. Not literally.
We'll have to ask
you know
Ashley.
What I mean? You know, I technically not, but the point is you wouldn't just get a bed frame and not have a mattress as my
agreed.
Point.
You would get the mattress. That's the point I'm making. Yeah. Just a little difference. Semantics maybe, but
oops, yes. No, probably... annoying semantics.
Yeah.
Just like your ridiculous soccer take today. Have to, we'll get to the Eagles in a sec.
We'll talk about the game.
Nonsensical. Yeah. All right. So for those listening, we're recording this after the US has been ousted from the World
embarrassed.
Cup with an embarrassing disappointment.
So here's an initial take. So I tweeted last night what a bad game it was, blah, blah, blah. It's like 2,000 responses, right? Didn't read them all, obviously. I think it's interesting how with certain groups of athletes in certain sports, it's almost like not that you can't criticize them, but whenever we talk about like soccer players, American soccer players, right? Or like Olympians, it's always... Ah, what a great story, though. Mm-hmm. You know, like they didn't win and they really played poorly and clearly didn't show up. But like, man, that's a great story, right? But with other athletes, we don't do that. Now, agreed. Olympians, you could argue they're not professional, I guess, like in the way that soccer players are making millions of dollars. I don't know if Olympians can be there full time. I don't know. It could be.
Well, they can be now. They used to not be.
Yeah, but like, I think there is a difference in like Jalen Hurts. Professional compared to Olympian professional and the amount of money.
Well, he makes a lot more money.
So I do understand that aspect of it. But with Jalen or anybody, you can pick whatever athlete you want. It's never like, man, you know, AJ Brown dropped that ball, but what a good story. Like, he really came up.
I agree.
And, you know,
I agree.
For some reason, soft for some reason with soccer, every time they lose, it's like,
it's like, oh, look at these little, guys trying their best against way better players.
I just don't get
why. And that's the problem. They're not the best players. Our best players don't play soccer. Best athletes don't play soccer. At the end of the day, we don't have the soccer culture that they have in these other countries.
I agree with the culture.
Where the best athletes, when they are young and they're like better than everyone else, I'm faster than you, I'm stronger than you, whatever. They're like, oh, I'm going to play soccer. I'm going to get paid to play soccer. Where in America, our best athletes get scholarships to go to play football or play baseball or play basketball. They play in AAU. They play in all these things because that's what the sports culture is here. And as a result, we have like our best players are guys like Kristen Pulisic, who's like a great athlete, but he's not Allen Iverson. He's not LeBron James. He's not like freaking whoever you want to take, Tyreek Hill, like whatever you want to say. Like, our best athletes don't play soccer. And at the end of the day, other countries do. And I think that at the end of the day, that is like the ultimate divider from why we can't get to the top tier.
So I don't think there is one thing. I do think, to quote you,
I agree, there's multiple things.
To quote you, like, you know, athletes shoulder up, most important part. Like, I just think you're putting a little too much emphasis on the physical traits. I think you are, but regardless, I also, and I'm fine to have an opinion on, even if I don't know the answer, but I will just say, like, I don't know if what you're saying is still true. Like,
I think it is,
you're sure about it?
Like, I think it is.
Okay. Cause like, soccer is the most played sports among
you. But
now, to your point, like,
I know it's not our best athletes. You know it.
But I'm saying currently now, but I don't know if that's still the case. Like, I don't know if in 10 years it'll be different because now way more kids are playing.
I think maybe it'll start to change a little bit. But again, our best athletes are still playing other sports. They just are. I mean, we know that.
But there's great athletes.
Sure, yeah. But not our best. Whereas every other country.
I don't know. Like, is Malik Tillman, like, is AJ Brown way more athletic? I don't know.
Probably.
Why? Malik Tillman's tall. He can run. He's strong. He's fast. Like, I don't, like, what's the difference?
If AJ Brown had spent his whole life playing soccer, I think he'd be a better soccer player than Tillman.
I think if Malik Tillman spent his whole life trying to learn football, he would have a good chance going.
Like, Kristen Pulisic, that little guy, you're telling me he's better than Allen Iverson if he played soccer? I think that's nonsense.
I don't. I think if Kristen Pulisic and Allen Iverson both started at the same space, and
I think Allen Iverson would be a better soccer
I think there's
player.
A chance, maybe, but I think, like,
it's incredibly likely. They're just not as strong, I mean, as Kristen fast Pulisic's as big. Like,
he's maybe not a top 100 player in the world. He is.
He is a loser. Honestly, now, that was one of the weakest performances ever.
Yeah.
Also, no, like, just in general with watching the national team over the years or whatever, I've been told he's the best player. That guy's never once to play the best player.
I agree.
He has never popped off the screen. I've never been like, wow, look at what that guy can do. Not once.
Yeah, he's had like some moments, but I mostly agree with you overall. Like, I think this goes back to my initial point where, and now to her credit, Carly Lloyd did rip into Pulisic.
Good for her.
And like, I think Alexi Lalas did it to the team a little bit, not so much Pulisic. But like, even at the end of the game last night, the announcer is saying, and to everyone watching, like, this doesn't have to be the last time you watch soccer. Like,
well, it's because they're so desperate for people to care about soccer.
But like, I just feel like,
and that's because people don't in America. And the problem is our best athletes are not caring about soccer. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
We as a country don't care about soccer. To that point, a lot of us are going to check out for the next 4 years. And that's the problem. Whereas, like, no one's checking out of football ever at any
point.
Football
is definitely bigger in America. There's no question.
All of them. Basketball is bigger in America. Baseball is bigger in America. They're all bigger. They're all inarguably bigger.
So I just don't know if that's definitely true.
Maybe more kids play it because it's easier for kids to play and assemble a team and you just throw a ball and they can run around. That doesn't mean that they're playing at high level and the best athletes are going into it. That's the key.
I just think we can move off of this. But like, I just think you're overemphasizing how important pure athleticism is.
I don't think
But when we talk about other, like Jalen Hurts, you talk about why is Jalen such a good quarterback?
Again, because there's levels up. There's a difference. I agree. I think the head matters when all the athletes are in a similar range. I think
Belgium was not more athletic than America.
I think Belgium was a much better team than America.
They might have been a better team.
Again, athletic.
I haven't heard one person bring up the athleticism and being why they lost.
They were clearly better. I mean,
why is nobody said it?
Well, part of it. I mean, athleticism, whatever you want to say, they were better soccer players. My point is, if you put better athletes into these things playing soccer their whole lives, they will be better soccer players than the guys who play it now. That's the point.
And I think if you took some of the athletes,
better hand-eye coordination, better this, better that, whatever you want to say.
You're just saying that. I don't know if that's true. Like, how do you know it's better hand-eye coordination?
Because I've watched sports.
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, all these people playing professional sports are athletic. Like if you took,
but of course they are. But again,
Florian Balogun, if you took him and made him into a great baseball player, you could probably do that.
Again, though, it is inarguable that our best athletes are going into these other sports. Like, that's just a fact.
I'm not disputing.
So then what's the argument here?
Because I don't think if they went to soccer, all of a sudden we'd be a top 10 team in the country.
I think we'd be much better. I think we might, if we cared about soccer the way these other countries do, we would be much better at it. Of course we would.
I don't know if that's true.
Of course. What are you talking about?
You're just assuming America will be better.
350 million people. Like, of course we would be better. If we cared about it and put money and effort and said, and if we had the best, like LeBron James, this, that, whoever the best like athletes are in America each year, if they said, I'm playing soccer, not basketball, not football, not baseball, I'm playing soccer, we would be better at soccer. Like, this is inarguable thing.
Do you think if another country decided to be great at football, they'd be better than America?
No, because we have the best athletes in the world, man.
But you keep saying we have the best athletes in the world. I'm just wondering where you get that from.
Because we have a bigger country with more people. What are you talking about? Like, Belgium has like 11 million people or 8 million people or whatever. I'm just saying there's, like, logically, numerically, more good athletes in America than in Belgium. We have so many more people.
But isn't, I mean, if we really want to get into it, like, isn't America also the most obese country in the world? Like, yes, there's more people. I'm just saying, you're just
that has nothing to do with athletes.
But you're just assuming
these are averages.
There's more
you're talking
people.
About averages. No.
Right.
This is logic, dude. Like, really, you think that 350 million people to 11 million people, unless they're like the 11 million best athlete. Like, what are you talking about?
I'm
like,
saying you're assuming that the best athletes in the world are in America. I don't know if that's true.
I think that there is a higher percentage of more good athletes in America because we have more people and we have a lot. We put a lot into sports. Like,
right. I just disagree. Like, I know. I don't think.
Wrong.
Well, right. But I think the assumption that
I think you're fighting a losing battle here. Like, I think almost everyone agrees that if our best athletes played soccer, we'd be better.
But I think everyone that you hear say that doesn't follow soccer. How many soccer analysts have you heard during the World Cup bring up the Americans' issues being athleticism?
Of course I'm not going to this because soccer people push back against this because you guys don't want to be the loser of the group. It is what it is.
Soccer people
soccer
know
is not
more
cared
than,
about here. It is what it is, man. I'm sorry.
But that's also not true.
It's not cared about to the same level that football, basketball, and baseball are.
I agree
with
that.
And as a result, because these kids care about these other sports more, the best ones who can make it in those sports go to that sport instead of soccer. Like, that's it. It's an inarguable thing, right? Like, I don't understand how you can argue against it. I don't understand what the argument is. The best athletes, if they have their choice, they choose those other sports.
I agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about here?
Because there's also ultra athletic people playing for other countries.
Sure, they're just not the best.
In
other countries, sure, their best athletes play soccer. Yes.
Right.
I'm not saying we would automatically be the best soccer country in the world. I'm just saying we would be able to compete potentially with those countries where we can't now.
I don't think that's true.
I think you're wrong.
Maybe one day we'll find out because a lot of the majority of
we will
young
never
kids,
find out.
I don't know.
There's no.
I would agree that it's very unlikely America ever becomes the best soccer team in the world. I would agree.
And
with
I think it's unlikely our best athletes play soccer on a large basis.
I don't know. I mean, there's more money in America in other sports, but there's more money overall in soccer, like
maybe.
In the world. I'm saying,
maybe.
Like, if you're like a high level player, like the biggest athletes in the world are soccer players, outside of like financially and stuff.
Yes, but I also don't know what the low end and high end is. Like the average player in Major League Baseball might make more than an average player in soccer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's possible.
You know,
yeah.
or in
the EPL,
basketball or whatever, stuff like that. Like I think the eighth guy on a basketball roster might make more than eighth guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So either way, we will stop arguing about this because you're not going to change. And I think you're so wrong. It is unbelievable.
I know you know.
All right. Let's talk about this Eagles roster thing.
Yeah.
Are they wrong? ESPN ranks the Eagles as the second best roster in the NFL. So here's the list, just the top of it. They have the Rams as the best roster. This is just about the roster in the NFL. They have the Eagles at second. They say the biggest strength is offensive tackle, which is interesting because, that's something we've been talking about a lot. Biggest weakness, safety. I think we would agree with that. Reek Woolen is the X factor for the team. I think we all agree with that. And the non-starter to know, Hollywood Brown. What do you make of that?
So the Hollywood Brown thing's weird. I mean, if Hollywood Brown has a big year for them, I think it's probably a bad thing.
Like, I don't think that's necessarily true. You know, he's with their third receiver.
No, I know, but I would just be pretty surprised. Like, if Hollywood Brown's our leading receiver.
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
My biggest takeaway from this, and them being second, and then I think just like overall, when you look at how they're being viewed nationally to an extent versus how they're being viewed locally, is I wonder if we're not seeing the forest through the trees or whatever that expression is, would have been a good one for this morning. Like maybe they are just way better.
I'm with you. That's what I've been saying. The defense alone.
Yeah. Yeah. But the defense is obviously,
that's
very
what
good.
I keep saying. Like they have a really high floor because they have one of the best defense in the league.
So I think what this comes down to is nationally and outside of Philly, the Eagles offensive line is viewed as better than it is.
I think that's fair.
The fact that they have tackle listed as the strength, is you could definitely see that.
Like now, it could happen.
It could happen for sure. Now, I think if you ask people locally, if they viewed the Eagles offensive line,
say like the cornerbacks or something.
Right. But yeah. I just think the way the offensive line is viewed is locally as like very hit or miss. Like they could get injured. Like who knows if Landon and Cam will ever be the same. I think when they make things like this, it's more just broad stroke of like they have talented offensive linemen.
I agree. I think when you look at it, so the Seahawks, just the top five, Seahawks are third, the Bills are fourth, the Ravens are fifth, Lions six, if we keep going, top 10, seven, the Patriots, eight, the Broncos, nine, the Texans, and 10, the Packers. Well, so all playoff teams from last year.
I think what's interesting is the top three are all NFC.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Also, though, I do think that, so the NFC, I think that is interesting, the top three. I think the NFC is past the AFC. But I also think that, I think it's a reminder, and we talk about this a lot throughout the season and just in general, that I think we get hyper-focused on the Eagles and their deficiencies without thinking about the fact the rest of the league has holes too. Like all these teams have flaws. Like everyone else is sitting there going, what about this? What about that? What about this? The Eagles as a roster, as this points out, are like, however you like, probably one of the top five in the league, one way or another, however you want to break it down. You know,
if there was a redraft, to use this one I always use, of like all 32 rosters, the Eagles would be one of the first seven rosters picked.
I think this is the first shot across the bow of the Joe DeCameras of the world, the people who are really down on this Eagles team ending in this year. Cause I understand if you don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think the people who are saying they're going to miss the playoffs is nonsense. I think it's a silly thing. This injuries happen. Forgetting injuries. I think this team is so talented defensively and has, I mean, a Jalen Hurts offense again, even last year was horrible. They still won 12 games, 11 games, whatever it is. Like, I just think there's no way this team loses less than 10, wins less than 10 games. And I think they probably win more than that.
I mean, I would agree. If you look at the floor of this team under Nick and Jalen, it was what, 9 wins in 2021? Yeah. And even then, like,
and that was coming off a 4-win year.
And they started 2-5, right? Yep. So, I mean, since that 2-5 record, they've been like a 70, you know, clip, not 70 win. Yeah. Like, they've won probably 70, 65% of their games. So, I do think this year, look, they could miss the playoffs in the way that there are the questions about them that we have are our big picture questions. Like, we're not, safety is a concern, but that's really not going to impact the season. Like they're going to have good tight end play more than likely, but that the concern is if the offensive line truly does crater the way it potentially could, that would be a concern. But that is also like looking for things that could go wrong instead of pointing to big picture things. I also think with Jalen, even if he doesn't turn into the quarterback some people want him to turn into, he is still a quarterback that knows how to win games. And so like, I'd be pretty surprised if this year Jalen turns the ball over for like 9 straight weeks. I could picture a world where early in the year, like kind of 2024, he turns it over a little bit, but in 2024, they then pivoted to the running game. So I think like the key players will be, how good is Saquon? ESPN put out a ranking of running backs and they had him third. So like, if Saquon's a third best running back in the NFL this year,
they're in pretty good shape.
Then I think they'll be in good shape. They'll win 12 or 13 games. The other thing that I probably underestimated a little is when you look at these rankings as well. So I think the Cowboys are the second highest in the NFC at maybe 14 or 15.
The NFC East.
NFC East, yeah. And then the Washington and the Giants are both in the 20s, like the mid 20s. And last year, they won the division by what, 4 or 5 games? Like, they ran away with the division last year.
A lot of people
are viewing the division as up and for grabs, and we've talked about it. And I'm sure there's times we talk.
I don't at all.
So I would be
like
worried.
I think Dallas will be good. I but this whole the Giants are going to win the division thing is insanity to me, and I think Washington's going to be bad.
So I think where I'm at with it is, in order for it to be a competitive division, the Eagles would have to have lots of things go wrong and the other teams would have to have lots of things go right. So where they could meet in the middle, where maybe the division winner has like 11 wins and the Eagles are fighting for it the final week of the season or whatever. But I think that what this shows is, we can talk about this on the other side, but like, I think we also maybe have to change what expectations are for this team, because I don't think many people are going into the year saying, well, they have to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to that in a sec. Elliot, more importantly, we spent hours discussing defense on the field, but what about defending your actual home from this brutal July humidity, old leaky builder grade windows, or letting an outside heat rush in, forcing your AC to work double shifts?
Well, it's a total blowout, kind of like last night. Ooh, this is why you need to call the pros at Window Nation. They are the real deal. Ranked highest on Forbes' list of best in window installation companies, they build custom windows that block the heat wave completely.
And Window Nation's July game plan's a winner. We like winners, not losers, okay? Mm. Throughout the month, you can get 50% off all window sales, plus, unbelievably, zero down payment, no payments or interest for 2 years. It's an unbelievable deal. You can choose from over 1,500 beautiful styles and colors.
Plus, Window Nation's installation crews finish the job in just 1 day or less, backed by a lifetime warranty. You gotta love that. But also, since replacement windows retain 80% of their value, it's a highly secure investment as well. So go online right now and schedule your fast free consultation at windownation.com.
Hey, gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. So to your point, I think it's interesting, the expectations, and combined with the first thing you said about the list when you saw it, we do have to mention that according to this, the top three teams are in the NFC.
Yeah.
So when we talk about expectations, like the Rams, I think most people expect the Rams to win the NFC and to win the Super Bowl. Yeah. I think that the Rams are the number one favorite betting team. They are the team that people,
I think, they are clearly the best team in the NFL going into it.
So I think so too, but also, like, why are they that much better than the Eagles going in? I get it. They got Myles Garrett and that helps, but this is an Eagles team that has owned them, like absolutely owned them, like beat them, what, six times in the last 4 years?
I don't think Nick's ever lost to them.
They have just owned the Rams.
Nick and Jalen.
I mean, like, the Rams, like, they still have this whole Puka thing going on, which is weird. Yeah. Like, there's no real answer for that. They almost moved on from Devontae Adams and they brought him back. Like, Stafford is what? I know he won the MVP, but he's like 37 or something. Like, he's getting up there. Like, why do people just assume that the Rams are going to dominate the NFC?
So I think the biggest issue with the Rams is definitely Stafford's age. Like, I know you could say for any quarterback, they could get hurt, but some are just more likely than others.
The older you get, the more it's just, and not just that, fall off a cliff. Like, again, Aaron Rodgers won MVP 1 year and was cooked the next year. Cooked.
Now, I will say, I do think one of the biggest.
Got hurt. Was that the year he got hurt after? But either
you
meant
a metaphorical cliff.
Metaphorical, yes. Yeah. Why did you?
That would be wild if he actually
fell off a cliff. Yeah, yes. That'd be crazy.
When we use that, do we ever really mean? Oh, and Aaron Rodgers actually fell off a cliff.
Hopefully one day.
Well, it's funny. He could get hurt. He could fall off a cliff.
Yeah, true. It's true.
Anything could happen.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. The way I phrased it, I got you. Yes. Good point.
Could stub his toe. Could fall off a cliff. Yeah,
one or the other. It would be pretty like an all-time relief moment to fall off a cliff and have it only be like a 10-foot drop.
Oh, I know.
You didn't realize you fall and you're like, well, and then it's like, oh, fine.
Shit. I stubbed my toe. Damn.
I have a falling off a cliff thought, actually. Like, obviously, you don't want to do it. Not
really?
Ideal.
Thank you.
I do wonder
where this is
if going. Maybe for 1 second, half a second, if it would be like, this feels kind of cool. Like, to like float through the air.
Well,
like
if
that.
You didn't think you were going to die.
That's what I mean. Well, yeah. No, but if you... Do you think there would be something
I don't think you would
let's
get
try to
a
make
second
the last few seconds.
No, I don't. Not me.
Yeah.
I think maybe some people might.
It would
live
be a pretty
way.
Strong mentally.
Yeah, I think it also depends, I guess, how far you fall.
Well, I would think even if it's super far, you're only talking 5-6 seconds.
It depends how far.
I would have to be pretty high up.
Like if you jumped off the Empire State Building, it would probably take you longer than 6 seconds to hit the ground, right?
Oh, you think so?
I don't know. I might be wrong too. I don't know. Tucker's looking it up.
Yeah, I would think you would fall pretty quick.
I think you fall quick, but still, it's really high up.
It is, but like one Mississippi, two Mississippi,
I would think like it'd take
10
seconds or something like that.
Four Mississippi, five Mississippi. Do you have an answer?
This is the most ridiculous thing we've looked at, maybe.
Yeah, I should have opened a private browser for that. Realistically,
yes, that's what we're hoping
from
for.
The top,
I don't 9 to 13 seconds.
That's what I figured. So what is it, 10 seconds? Not too bad.
So
right?
I give you a time to be like,
that's what I'm saying. I think it depends. Like, if you're up to like 20 seconds or something and you're like going, you're like,
I think you'd have
probably
to,
not though. I think the fear
it would really have to
you'd
be
probably
in the
pass out at a certain point too. From the
true,
you know, so I don't know.
Yeah.
What a morbid thought, very macabre.
Yeah, we should just move on from this. But here's my
it would be nice if the Clippers small anchor.
Yeah, it would be ideal. That's what I mean. Like, you fall in the first split second, you're like, no, and then it's like,
oh, anytime you think you're gonna die and don't die, it's probably a big one.
Yeah, probably a truly life-changing moment.
I would think so.
It's like when I was on the plane and it went up and down.
Yep.
Although exactly not very like scary that. Compared yeah. to other plane things. So I would say the Eagles and the Rams. Like, I think one on one.
So about the Eagles.
If the Eagles were playing the Rams in the first round of the playoffs, I think it'd be fair to expect the Eagles to either win the game or be very competitive. I think like one on one, you can expect that. I do think if Stafford stays healthy, and I know there's questions for every quarterback, and we are pro Jalen pod, but like Stafford is way better than Jalen right now. Like Stafford is, I think, the best quarterback in the NFL. He was last year. I just think what he is right now is a pocket passer, and his arm is just another level.
Look at you.
I don't know what to say.
I remember when we used to battle about, I thought Matt Stafford was good, and you were like, no.
Well, he won a Super Bowl.
He's not good.
Yeah, I mean, he won MVP. Like, so I think that's the biggest difference. I think the Eagles and Rams both have an elite defense. I think the Rams probably have better skill players overall, like Puka is better than Devontae. Now there's a question yeah. with that, but like, and I think like the Rams have a really good offensive line. So the Rams are set up really well to be good. I think it is the Stafford thing, but with the Eagles and the expectations, what I've kind of started to think about, because training camp's only a few weeks away, is like, why shouldn't they be expected to win the Super Bowl?
They should. I think that should be, I mean, like to the point of like, when we say expectations, is it Super Bowl or bust? I feel like is a different way of saying it than like they're good enough to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
I think they're good enough to win the Super Bowl. I'm not coming into this year with a new offensive coordinator.
I think that's the biggest reason why.
And I'm saying like they have to win the Super Bowl, but I agree that they should be considered one of the top teams to win the Super Bowl.
So I looked this up recently. You can both guess this. Pretty sure I remember the stat correctly. So I looked at the last 20 Super Bowl winners that have also played two seasons after. Because last year, the Eagles were dealing with the Super Bowl hangover, and this year they won't be dealing with it. But they are a team that just recently won a Super Bowl. Of the last 20 teams to be in that scenario.
So in terms of like teams 2 years
after last year's Super Bowl winner wouldn't count. The Eagles would not count yet because they've not played a third.
So it'd be the Chiefs the year the Eagles beat
them. Correct. The first team that qualifies for this would be the 2023 Super Bowl champion. Whoever that was. Was that the Rams?
Wait, no. I can pull the list. No. Yeah, 2024 now. It's the Eagles now is what you're saying.
Yeah, but the Eagles haven't played that season yet.
Yeah, going into the season, it's Eagles. So the last one. Correct. It'd be the Chiefs because they went back to back.
Okay, yeah. So
the Chiefs were bad last year.
How many teams of those 20 do you think?
Now, would it be also a guy? Anyway.
I can pull it up, actually, if I want. So I have it here. So of the last 20 teams to be in this situation, how many do you think did better the second season after a Super Bowl win than they did the direct season? So basically what this is talking about is
do teams, coming off the Super
do
Bowl.
Teams recover from a Super Bowl hangover?
Sure. I'll say they do better.
How many of the 20 do you think did better two seasons?
13.
You want to guess?
9.
8. So I thought that was a little surprising. Like, I think I'm big that the Super Bowl hangover mattered last year, but history shows, and I'm not just talking about winning the Super Bowl.
Well, it's just the last 20 for what it's worth. But well, yes,
20 is a pretty long time. But yes, I it's not the whole league, the history of the league. So what I think it shows is that it's really hard. Like, once you've won the Super Bowl, it's really, really hard, which is what makes Eagles winning it in 24 so impressive off of 22, is it's so hard to get back to that level. So when I think about this upcoming season, like, it's definitely interesting to know where they have the second best roster. I think they are working against a lot of things. They're working against having just won a Super Bowl relatively recently. They're working against having a brand new offensive coordinator. Like, brand new offensive coordinators don't often in their first year win a Super Bowl. So on one hand, I think because they have Nick and Jalen, they have a Super Bowl winning head coach and quarterback. They have a talented roster. They have a great GM. I think it's kind of crazy to go into the year and be like, well, if they win a playoff game, that's a successful year. Cause they're not like, you know, the Buccaneers, like, they are a team that should be expected to compete for excellence every year. And if it doesn't happen, then that's not fair. Like, it's a failure. But on the flip side of that is they are competing against a lot of things. One, self-inflicted, which is a new offensive coordinator, but they're competing against a lot of things that make it very hard to win in the NFL.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. I agree. But I think that that's more of a, like, it's hard for everyone to win in the NFL. It's just hard to win, you know? So
the best thing to be in the NFL is a team out of nowhere. Like, no expectations. Like, you know, like, that's when you really capitalize in the NFL. It's hard to be the Eagles where every, and or the Chiefs, where every year you're expected to win X, you know, like 12 games, win two playoff
games. It makes it much harder. Now, again, I think the NFL is changing a little bit in that it's, I think the parity is becoming even like, I think back-to-back Super Bowl champs is going to be something we see less and less as time moves on. I think we've already seen that, obviously, but we've had the Patriots and Chiefs. I've said that before. I think it kind of obscured.
Well, the last 10 years have been very different than the previous 10
years. Yeah, I think we're heading Patriots more in that direction. It's hard to judge what our expectations should be for this team for that exact reason. I think that you could say with this group right now, like, they should be expected to win the Super Bowl every year. And if they don't,
right,
it's not a successful season. But you've pointed this out many times. Like, that's an incredibly hard standard to hold up to. I mean, think of what
Jalen is asked to do in order to be viewed as elite, right? Like, Jalen, because he doesn't throw for a ton of passing yards, basically to cement his place in the top 10, he basically has to go to the Super Bowl or win the division, win two playoff games, which, like, is really, really hard to do.
Yeah.
Right. So, but the flip side of that is when you have a great quarterback and a great head coach, I think we would agree, me and you would agree. And I don't know actually where Tucker falls on Jalen holistically, but, like, yeah, why don't you actually say where you fall? Yeah,
where you fall? We never really get
where you fall on
Jalen. Well, I hear you talk about him a lot, but I feel like you never have to stamp it the way I
stamp it.
I think he's good. I think he's not great.
All right.
I think he's a quarterback you could win with, and they have.
Is he elite?
No. He's very good.
Okay. All right.
Nick, now, where are you sound, Nick?
Well, you better be careful with this one. Considering the podcast, we are a Nick Island pod.
We are a Jalen pod.
We are a Jalen pod too, but I think Jalen has more.
He's very emotionally intelligent.
Okay, so this is going to be
that from Jeff.
Not a great start. Not a great start. Yeah.
But I think it's telling that he wins when he has a really strong supporting cast around him.
Wow. But, like, what head coaches don't win when they don't have a really
I did same with Jalen. Like, this whole, like, oh, he's got players around him.
Me and you disagree on this, but I think for somewhat different reasons. Like, you are correct that they are better when they have a proven offensive coordinator. But I also think it's somewhat circumstantial because every year they've had a proven offensive coordinator. It's just the year they're not coming off a Super Bowl.
Well, that too.
Like, you know, so this will be a good year to kind of see it. But I guess not
because
really.
Because when they have a good offensive coordinator, they go to the Super Bowl. So
I just think, when you have good coaches, you're good.
Yeah.
When I think about this upcoming year, it's hard for me to envision leaving the year feeling good if, like, they don't win a playoff game.
I totally agree with you. I agree with you.
But it's also maybe unfair.
And also it is, like, to your point, and look, Howie Roseman says it, we're trying to win the Super Bowl every year. Like, that's a standard he holds them to. So I understand if we hold him to that, but
it might legitimately be the only team in the NFL that has that standard.
That, and I think the Rams are probably there just because of the hype right now this year.
Yeah.
They don't have it every year, but
the
I think
difference
this year
is they play in LA where
no one cares.
Right
now. Like, so true.
Where I think you can argue the Chiefs, but they've been so successful too.
And also,
Dallas never comes close, but that's, there's pressure there.
So before we get to final thoughts and stuff, let's just wrap this up with a couple quick things here. First, I want to ask you about the offensive line thing, because you mentioned it. I want you to predict, does the offensive line bounce back? I know we got time and all that, but to your point of, like, I do think there is a real pivot thing there with this point, them saying the offensive tackles are the best part about the team. And I don't think any Eagles fan would say that today right now, but we are.
Yeah, it is wild they put that over the cornerbacks.
Basically, are we overreacting to one bad year from an offensive line? Is kind of where I'm at, in the sense that, like, to your point, you mentioned many times, like, 2 years ago, like, they were the best offensive line in the history of football, arguably, since the 90s Cowboys, like, whatever you want to say. And that was coming off of many years in a row, you know, of dominance of a high level play. They have one down year after going to the Super Bowl, after a bunch of injuries, after Landon Dickerson and Cam Jurgens fighting their way through the end of the year and having surgery, all this stuff. Like, and now everyone's like, well, I don't know, the offensive line probably sucks or could suck. Have we gone a little too far?
So I do think,
and the Salad thing, I think probably pushes people that way too.
In some ways, it can't be worse. Right? I mean, I guess it could be. It can always get worse, like if you're falling off a cliff. But, like, here's actually the title of the pod: the Eagles haven't fallen off a cliff.
You
should write that one down.
I should write that one down.
The smile on that
face. That was a really good one.
I do think expecting it to be worse is tough when you consider how. Now, Landon played a lot, which is worth noting. He actually missed one game. He just was very, he was
limited.
45%
of himself. He probably shouldn't have played.
Agreed, yes. Way. Like, Cam says he feels way better. Landon.
Which, again, back surgery year after makes sense.
Yeah. Like, Lane you know, he misses time. So when I think of the offensive line, I think it's probably more realistic to expect them to be slightly better than last year than it is to expect them to play anywhere close to the level they did in 2024. Now, if the new scheme makes life easier for them, that could help if they're not on islands as much. But the tough thing is when the new offensive scheme is going to cause them or ask them to like move a lot, like Landon's not super athletic at this point. Jordan's getting up there a little bit. Like Cam is mobile for sure. Tyler Steen's not super fast. I mean, I don't know. This all goes back to the, are they truly running an offense that fits their skill sets? Or are they just running an offense? And I tend to lean, they're just running an offense and not tying it to the skill set. But regardless, I think with the offensive line, I would expect them to be better, but I think it's being somewhat reading through like midnight green glasses to expect them to be like a top five offensive line. Like I'm pretty surprised all these places have them viewed as a top five offensive line.
Yeah, I pretty much come down there too, but I am definitely leaning more towards the, they're going to be better rather than worse this year. Like, I don't think we're going to have what we had last year, but I don't know that they get back.
It is interesting. And I'm a big PFF guy. I'm a big, like, reading the grades. Warren Sharp does a lot of grading. Like I am in on that. But I do think a lot of what I see grading wise doesn't match up with what I watched last year.
Yeah.
I'm not watching every snap three times. Like there is those, well, not every player for every snap three times, but there is that difference of that as much as he's like, they had the Eagles as like the 11th best line last year and things like that. That's not what I saw. But to your point, I don't watch every team every week. So maybe, and holistically, the Eagles offensive line was actually better than we think.
All right. Last question about this. Who do you think, and again, we don't have the list in front of us, but you know which teams are generally ranked where. Who do you think is an underrated roster in the NFL?
It's a tough one. Wow.
Don't say the Giants.
Well,
I know. That's why I'm queuing you up there. You could say the Giants.
I mean, I think the Cowboys roster is underrated. Like, they have an elite offense. I think they added a lot. They added Caleb Downs. They added Malachi Lawrence. So I would say the Cowboys should be ranked higher considering they have maybe the best offense in the NFL. If not, I think certainly top three or four. It's probably, I would go Cowboys. Who would you say?
I like to ask you questions and not really.
It's a tough one to think of like on the spot. I think the 49ers roster is probably overrated.
I agree. Yeah.
Which I guess is a compliment to Kyle Shanahan.
Okay. That's all I got. Okay. I don't have an answer.
All right. No answer.
No, I'm going to force you
on that one.
How about the Chargers?
That's the team I was thinking of too.
Yeah.
But Justin Herbert, I mean, not to do this whole thing. Yeah. I mean, this is like,
you know, I think the Chargers, you know, they've always got talent though. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's just, you guys get hurt.
Yeah. That's fair.
All right. Let's get to final thoughts.
Okay. So I had another thing pull up. So I had to pull this one up. All right. One thing I really want to do on my bucket list. I want to do one of those things you see on Instagram where people try to eat like a pizza eating contest at a restaurant. And I think actually, have you done this?
I've done it multiple times.
It seems exhilarating. I think I'd be good at it. I think I would accomplish it.
So I have zero interest in doing this.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like a
huge pizza
why?
Or whatever.
Like, what's the?
I just think it seems fun. Like, you
does
go,
it?
You
get with, I want to get like disgustingly full. Well,
you
and
get
feel
a T-shirt.
Horrible.
You get to eat delicious food.
I get. Like, I have too many T-shirts. I need to give away T-shirts as it is.
You don't strike me as a guy with a lot of T-shirts. You big T-shirt guy?
Okay, I've got. They're all get so many free ones that are. I got like 8 million Philly shirts and this. That. I don't need anything else. I'm good. And to make like gorge myself, I'm surprised for you, for someone who's so like conscious about
this. Agreed, yeah. But like
it seems
it's
horrible.
A one time thing.
It seems horrible.
I would love to do like a dumpling eating contest. I would not love to do
horrible.
A hot dog eating
I have
contest.
No interest in it. Zero.
I'm sure I've said this, but watching the Nathan's hot dog thing over the weekend, it's really absurd. You're allowed to eat the hot dog without the bun.
I know you talked about this.
Like you should 1000% have to eat it.
I don't disagree.
Don't have the bun because then you are
just
truly
so surprised by this. So our buddy Brandley Gowton, a great eater, he is
no surprise there.
He has eaten in some contests before and crushed
as well.
It.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
So
at it.
I think I would do.
I just am surprised. Like you, of all people, do not seem like.
Well,
someone
it's not like I'm going to adopt it as a lifestyle.
I'm
saying
just
like
surprised.
It's a
I wouldn't
time,
think
yeah.
you would want to do it.
Well, I do like eating.
You're like
a
you're
lot
the
of food.
You're the guy. You're the guy who's like, oh, I feel bloated when I eat this food or that food.
I'm
or whatever.
Not saying I feel good after. I'm
just
saying.
Surprised. You're not like you like won't have certain foods because it makes you feel a certain.
I
way.
Also
like I don't even notice what food does to me, and I wouldn't do it. You know.
I think I am sure of how it would go for me. I would eat a ton really quickly and then feel sick.
Well, that's what always happens.
Yeah, like that is like definitely what happened. Like I would be unable to.
Doesn't sound fun, does it?
I don't know, man. I think like it'd be fun to be like, yo, what do you do tonight? Like,
I'm really surprised by this. I mean, good for you. I want nothing to do with the meat and gun test.
Would you get top? Well, I guess it's up to them what's on the pizza. But some of these are huge. Like these,
I wouldn't want anything to do with that. I know.
Give me your story.
So you're right. You do start off quick and then you
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because like I've done it at Pete and Elda's a few times over in New Jersey.
Okay. And what was the give? Like, what's the details here?
You get a 20-inch pizza. You have to finish it in 30 minutes.
Doesn't seem that hard. What's a large?
Oh, it's a lot harder.
A large is like 16 inches.
Okay.
Bro, I think
you're I know 4 inches around, but
I think you're underrating how big a pizza it is and I how mean, hard it would be.
The first time I did it, I just got a plain pizza. And I was kind of bored at the end because like you're just eating a lot of the same stuff.
And you did it though.
Yeah.
Have you ever failed one?
No, I've done it three times.
See, this is what I'm saying. I think like maybe it's like, not as hard as I think. No offense to you, but it's not, like
I compare it to running a 5K. It's like a fat man's 5K.
I think running a 5K is way harder.
I mean, maybe.
I guess.
I mean, it would be for me.
I guess the argument would be if the 5K is timed. Like,
I just like I see people cheer for people running, like cheer for me for eating.
I just think you're underrating how gross you would feel much you would not want to finish.
I'm acknowledging that, but I think it would be like, okay, so there's a restaurant in the city that where if you eat 10 baked potatoes, you get your pitcher on
that
the wall.
That sounds horrible.
But I think it'd be kind of
10
cool
baked
to have your pitcher on the wall.
Oh my God. I don't think I can eat 2 baked potatoes. Oh my God.
Baked potatoes are not, in my opinion, as hearty as people think because
people
don't really eat the skin.
I do.
Okay. Yeah. Surprising.
I love it. Cut it up after. It's great.
I feel like people just mostly.
They do. I'm saying the skin is one of the best parts. You got to eat the skin.
I'm not saying I dislike the skin. I'm just saying.
I don't eat enough. I used to eat baked potatoes all the time when I was younger. I never eat them anymore.
They're big
ever.
To do.
I never eat them
anymore. A lot of like ingredients. You have to get the potato. You have to get the sour cream. You have to get the cheese.
You could
you have
just
to get
do
the bacon. I mean, you just start butter with potato and salt and take it from there. Yeah.
Yeah. Just potato, butter, salt.
Fair. I mean, that's like saying making a pizza without like.
Not really.
Most of the ingredients.
Like the only ingredient you technically need for a baked potato is potato.
And heat.
Yeah. Not ingredient, but I agree.
Agreed.
It's an
agreed
element.
I mean, it's like, element, yeah. I guess it's like saying if you're eating pasta, you're only eating noodles. Like, I get your point.
With butter and salt. I mean, I wouldn't do it that way. I think you could.
A baked potato, though, if you ask for one at a restaurant.
Sour cream's fine, but I generally like it with butter and salt, personally.
Yeah, I would enjoy that, too. But I think 10 would be tough. But it would feel good to
know.
Like, it would feel like I feel proud of myself.
Sounds horrible. Just the worst.
What food would you pick for
I wouldn't. I wouldn't do this.
Had to do
I'd chug beer.
See, that would get filling too. And you'd be drunk.
Thank God. That's the one takeaway.
Like, at least with the food, like.
At least if I feel crappy, I can feel fun, you know?
Yeah. I also do think it's messed up when you do these eating contests. You have to pay if you don't do it. Yeah. But I do understand it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Because like, you could just go and be like, yo, I want to try.
Oh, it's a free meal. Yeah, exactly.
Did you have that risk when you did yours?
No, you have to pay anyway. You have to pay no matter what.
Well, I don't like that.
This is all
that I don't like. I think if you complete it, you shouldn't have to pay.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going for dinner. Like,
okay. Did you guys watch the Parkway on July 4th?
No, you seemed to very.
It was amazing. It was so much fun. It was like had the whole vibe of like because they were supposed to come on at midnight. It said like 11 something. A pop up. People start walking up. They're like saying people keep showing up. It was like so many people there. The Roots brought it. Meek Mill brought it. Will Smith brought it. Kathy Sledge brought it. Beanie Siegel and Freeway bought it. It was awesome. It was awesome. Yes. I mean,
yeah. It is a shame it rained on
Will Smith crushed it too. And I'm not the hugest fan of Will Smith, the rapper. He was electric. He freaking brought it wearing the Phillies gear. Like he put on
Here's
a show.
A take. I think Will Smith is extremely underrated as a musician.
So that was my takeaway. Yeah, like, he's got bangers.
All
dude.
These haters on him.
He's like, got bangers.
Dude, getting jiggy with it.
Yes,
Miami,
with
just
it
the two of
yes,
us.
Yes, like, he's a lot.
He had the one from Wild Wild West.
Yeah,
I used to
Wild
love.
Wild West. Yeah,
another banger. Will any of was
a
pretty good.
Wonder sample.
Yeah. So I think I agree.
He played the Fresh Prince song. He played Summertime.
I was like, he's a good rapper.
It was great.
I know it's like not cool.
I was very,
that,
I was super impressed with him as a performer. Not that I was not surprised. I wasn't shocked. He is one of the most famous people on the planet. But a lot of times like movie actors and they're not necessarily like perform in front of a crowd people. He performed. I thought he was great.
He's not as successful as a musician, but I don't think it's like far off.
Men in Black song. I forgot about that.
Another great one. Yeah, like
he's way better than I thought. I'll show
like he is a better actor, but I don't think he's like a one as a musician and a 10 as an actor.
He is much better. And I love that him and DJ Jazzy Jeff still doing it together after all these years.
Maybe the best theme song all time for a TV show. I know. discussion, but like it certainly
it's
is
in the discussion. Yeah, I would say it's in the discussion. Five. It's a great one.
I would bet it gets played out more than any other.
It's up there.
Song.
Look, it was the only one played on the
played
park,
out right? at a bar. I should say. Yeah. Not
oh, that's
out.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And I thought I felt on a day where, you know, 250 America, all that. It felt like a lot of it got overshadowed by the weather and all that, unfortunately,
yeah.
throughout the country. I was really proud. You know, the people do the, like, I love my country, Philadelphia. I felt that. Like, I was so proud
I felt it walking
of Philadelphia.
Around
that too.
Joe had a very different experience.
The whole day, seeing everything here and all that, but also, like, just the fact that, like, it seemed like every other city was like, all right, we got rained out. We'll do some fireworks. Philly was like, we're going to put on a 2-hour concert yeah. from 12:45 till 2:30 in the morning. Like, that was awesome. And I appreciated it. And I had a freaking great time yeah. watching.
Philly always does a great job. When
yeah. I was said, shout out to the Roots, like the whole thing. I was really proud of to be a Philadelphian from 12:30 to 2:40, whatever, July 5th, morning of yeah. July 5th. So shout out.
Agreed.
Yeah.
It was a cool, again, it did like the timing of the,
I know it all
so
got screwed up.
Bad.
It all got yeah. screwed up. I'm just saying it, given the circumstances,
did
I
you go look out
up.
At the sky?
No, not much.
Wow, man. It was crazy. Crazy. Just like it was like purple with lightning and fireworks. Yeah. It looked like a horror movie or, you know, yeah. like Gotham or whatever.
Love it. All yeah. right. Next pod, Tucker, get your Toy Story rankings ready. We're doing the next pod.
All right.
And I have a great final thought for the pod after that, which I'm saving, which is really a fun one. All right. We'll be back with another pod. Some over-unders. Get into that. Let's get rolling here on the season.
It's been a while since we did that.
Let's go time. Until then, you tell your dreams.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.